Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Thursday, November 13th. I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg's high school varsity volleyball team traveled to Craig last weekend for the South Seeding Tournament. That tournament helps determine the team's standing heading into regions. KFSK's Taylor Heckert caught up with head coach Jamie Cabral to talk about the team's performance ahead of next week's regional competition. He says one of the team's big challenges last weekend wasn't on the court. Instead, it was bad weather.
Weather was a factor. So we had to adjust on the fly and fly down to Ketchikan, then take the IFA over, which kind of moved our schedule a bit. So with the schedule change, we got dressed on the boat, pull up to the gymnasium, throw our shoes on, start warm up, and play a game. We were scheduled to come home Saturday afternoon. That changed with the lovely storm that came through, and we had to redo all of our games in the schedule. So we ended up playing every first game of the day. Besides the travel, it was wake up early, go to bed as fast as we can after those games. We lost our first one to Wrangell. The next morning, we had the first game at 8:45 the next morning, so a quick turnaround, still trying to find our groove. We ended up losing a tight one to Skagway. And then we just kind of met and as a group and just said, hey, let's turn that switch on. Let's go. And we won the next four. So the girls did wonderful. So ended up 4-3 over the weekend, but not bad for all the little logistical things that kind of happened. And so we locked up the number two seed for regionals next week, which is great for the girls. They were troopers, performed well with all the adversity that happened. And then on the way home, it was ugly weather, but we got home and now recovering, getting ready for regionals.
To be seated second after all that insanity is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I give the credit to the girls. They buckled down, and they just kind of battled through it.
Were there any standout performances you really want to
highlight? Oh goodness. So many, our middles, Maddie Dreisbach and Aurora Wolf and Natalie Bertagnoli did a phenomenal job in the middle of trying to contain some of the big hitters from the other schools. Our outside hitters did phenomenal as well. One game we did have a very high percentage of hitting errors. So trying to limit those unforced errors, that's one big thing that we need to improve on as a team. But our outside hitters did great. Mael Boyder, Nicole Ware, and Ariel Tucker did just phenomenal on the outside. Our setters have been improving a lot, just giving hittable balls and playing really good defense. So Eden Davis, Rika Miller, and Juliana Allison. And then our liberos are kind of like these hidden gems. They don't get a whole lot of credit, but they pick up a lot of volleyballs. And so Freya Tucker and kind of our younger libero who's getting some time, Cadence Flint. She got to be a libero in one of the games and did great. Her first game at the varsity level trying to be a libero, she did wonderful. But all of our girls had their moment this weekend, which was really exciting.
Nice. Yeah. Well, to that idea, what is the feeling at the team at this point in the season? How are they feeling?
Yeah, they're feeling confident and trying to get them to believe that they belong in the conversation of, you guys are a pretty solid team. Having them know that and then believe that they can go out and do it. I think that's the biggest hump so that they, continue to improve every single weekend. The middle of our pack of our region is pretty tight from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, though all those teams are pretty close in competitive level. I think for us, just being consistent and taking care of the biggest one is our first contact, serving and passing. If we can get those two down, we're going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when is Regions?
Regions next week in Skagway.
Okay.
Yes. So we will be heading up to Skagway. So Thursday, we pulled Haynes first. So we'll play them next week Thursday at 4:15 is our scheduled time. And it's a double elimination tournament. So we'll take it game by game.
And senior appreciation this weekend?
Saturday, yes. We're also going to do a fundraiser. We're doing a fundraiser to kind of help offset all the little logistical travel nightmares that we had. We're doing a fundraiser before. And so our JV kids will do one last blue and white at 4:30. And then our varsity will play at 6:45. And then we'll do senior appreciation. The girls are also going to learn a very, very quick hula dance to perform as well on Saturday. And so a little treat for them because they like to learn that. It's kind of fun.
That was volleyball head coach Jamie Cabral talking with KFSK's Taylor Hecker about the team's performance at the South Seeding Tournament in Craig. The high school volleyball teams will be hosting a fundraiser event this Saturday, November 15th. The JV teams will play at 4:30 and the varsity team will play at 6:45. Senior recognition will be afterward. A former Sitka School District staff member has raised concerns about alleged misuse of the district's travel accounts. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports, while the district and Sitka police say the matter has been resolved, the former business manager believes further investigation is warranted.
At the Sitka School Board meeting on November 5th, retired business manager Leslie Young said that while she oversaw school funds during a transition to centralized accounting in 2023, she noticed some concerning changes on the district's Alaska Airlines travel account.
Before the account was transferred to the business office in 2023, two employees had exclusive control. Records suggest that miles and companion fares earned through district-related travel may have been used for personal vacations, including trips to Hawaii, Colorado, and multiple visits to Fairbanks, with no documented district purpose.
Young says she reported the trips to her supervisor at the time. Ever since she retired in 2024, she's continued to seek more information, filing a report with the Sitka Police Department and the Professional Teaching Commission to look into the matter.
The records available to me at the time span only a three-year period to determine the full extent of the misuse. I believe formal records requests to Alaska Airlines is necessary. I firmly believe the evidence warrants a full independent criminal investigation, not merely an internal review by the superintendent.
Young submitted a written complaint to the school board in August and received a response from Superintendent Deidre Jensen. In Jensen's letter to Young, she wrote that both she and the former interim superintendent had investigated the matter and said that information involving personnel would remain confidential. Jensen wrote that while there were past issues of limited account access, now multiple staff members share oversight of the Alaska Airlines mileage account, and the district monitors it continuously. But Young wasn't satisfied by the response.
That response is unacceptable. Public funds or resources that are never intended for personal use, misappropriating them is not a personal matter. It carries potential criminal consequences.
In an interview with KCAW after the meeting, Superintendent Jensen said the allegations had been investigated both internally and externally by multiple parties.
There has been investigation that has been done regarding this issue. Cannot comment on personnel matters. What I can assure the public is that there has been no misuse of public funds.
KCAW also reached out to the Sitka Police Department to learn more about its investigation. Spokesperson Serena Wild said that a police officer opened a case after Young filed a report at the end of October. The officer consulted with the assistant district attorney regarding the case, and the ADA determined that further criminal investigation was not warranted, and the case was closed as unfounded, pending further information. Young says the district should have brought the issue to police from the beginning, not her as a private citizen. In an interview with KCAW, she says she didn't bring the matter to the board's attention lightly.
I'm really saddened by this. You know, the district is such a wonderful opportunity for students. There's so many great things that happen, and there's so many wonderful teachers and staff that are amazing. And I just am really saddened that it impacts the good work that happens there. And I just want accountability. That's important.
Young says she, quote, wants to be able to sleep at night knowing she did everything she could to make people accountable and follow the rules. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Invasive European green crabs were first detected in Alaska 3 years ago on Annette Island in southern southeast. The number of green crabs trapped on the island has since exploded, and they're spreading throughout the region. As KRBD's Hunter Morrison reports, managing the invasive species is key to protecting Southeast's natural resources.
It's the first sunny morning in days, and two scientists, donned in extra tough boots, carefully stroll along a rocky, grassy shoreline. They're at Settlers Cove on the north end of the Tongass Highway. The duo are no strangers to flipping rocks and looking into puddles for carapaces or crab shells. So far, they haven't found what they're looking for. But then...
I actually think I found something.
Hunter for the win!
Good eye, good eye, good eye.
It's the exoskeleton of a Dungeness crab, which is indigenous to Southeast and much of the West Coast. The find is somewhat of a relief to the group, who don't spot any invasive European green crabs that day. But that's not always the case. Shells and live crabs were spotted to the north in Ketchikan this summer, and they've since been found on 8 other beaches along the road system.
Once they are in the ecosystem, they're there, and they spread like wildfire.
That's Emily Halsell, wildlife biologist with the Ketchikan Indian Community. She leads the tribe's European green crab management efforts, which include carapace walks like these.
If we were able to remove them from the system, they would not be on 5 different continents. They would not be considered one of the top 100 invasive species in the entire world. Like, once they're there, you're not getting rid of them.
European green crabs are native to coastal Europe and North Africa, and were first detected on the North American West Coast in the late 1980s. The crab can be distinguished by its 3 bumps between the eyes and 5 spines on either side. It's since migrated north by way of ocean currents. The species officially reached southeast Alaska on Annette Island in 2022. That year, the Metlakatla Indian community trapped about 800 European green crabs on the island. And that's about half of what they found in the few years that followed. But since April, that number has grown exponentially. The tribe has trapped over 40,000 European green crabs, sometimes up to 1,000 a day. There's a theory as to why the island's seen an explosion in the pesky critters. It was an El Nino year, which is favorable for crab larvae because it pushes warmer waters to shore. And female green crabs can lay up to 185,000 eggs at a time. But it's possible that not all green crab are the same. Ian Hudson is a fisheries biologist with the Metlakatla Indian Community. He says European green crabs in Alaska could differ from those found in British Columbia and Washington State.
The combination of genetics that we have here is kind of like a super crab that is essentially adapting to the environments in Alaska. Poses a huge threat.
The invasive burrows into eelgrass beds, which destroy nurseries for Dungeness crabs, clams, and juvenile salmon. Research also indicates that green crabs could catch and kill baby salmon. Hudson says the threats of European green crabs not only impact indigenous species, but indigenous people. Annette Island is home to Metlakatla, the only native reservation in Alaska. And Hudson says many residents harvest Dungeness crab and salmon for subsistence purposes.
We've compared our bycatch data and our traps from year to year, and we have seen a decrease in Dungeness populations this year. We don't know if that's just an anomaly or if it's conclusive, but we will continue to look at our data and have our data inform our choices and management for the future.
And although green crabs have never been successfully eradicated anywhere, there are ways to manage them, like tracking their spread and trapping them. A new law in Connecticut allows harvested European crabs in the Atlantic to be sold in restaurants with little permitting. Halsell, with the Ketchikan Indian Community, hopes to one day see management efforts like this in Alaska.
There is no natural resource that people don't enjoy to utilize that is way too abundant. So we need to make it into something that we can use.
Scientists say European green crabs will continue to migrate north. As of now, they've been reported as far north as the southern end of Edelin Island, between Thorn Bay and Wrangell. You can report invasive European green crabs on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website, adfg.alaska.gov. You can also report by dialing 1-877-INVASIVE, without the E. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Hunter Morrison.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.